The following program contains heartbreaking trades, mind-numbing draft picks, career-ending injuries, and material that may not be suitable for people with the following medical conditions: P-Heart Syndrome, Jordan Phobia, Wagon Jumper Disease. If you suffer from any of the above symptoms, please consult a courtside physician before listening.
It's that time again!
Watch out!
Here it comes!
Watch out!
Here it comes!
Watch out!
Well,
Courtside Podcast. I'm your host, Hank McCoy, and with me, the People's
Champ,
Vinrock, Vince. Welcome back to the show.
Very excited to be back. I love doing these specials.
We're back with another Courtside Present show. We've been loving the feedback we've been hearing from you guys about these timeless pieces, so we thought we'd continue the trend. This week's show, The Heartbreakers, Vince. Now, we've talked about this on, you know, other minisodes, but we thought, let's really break down the gut-wrenching, the kick you in the nuts. When you're down, moves, trades, deals, players, athletes, franchises, that just really hurt a little. It's a really vast subject. It's a big reason why I myself stopped following teams for many years. True story, because way back in the day, Vince, massive Jalen Rose fan, as you know. I followed the Bulls, like most of us did. And when Jalen Rose got traded to Chicago, it was one of the best days of my life. I was like, this is amazing. My favorite player, my favorite team, together at last. Like, nothing could be this. He gets traded. Absolutely broke my heart. From then on, I was like, you know what? I'm not following teams anymore, just players. Because a franchise will break your heart. They really will.
They do, but they'll also give you some of the best moments of your life.
I'm all about the heartbreakings.
Yeah, you're a weird fellow.
Well, let's get into it. Who is the most heartbreaking draft pick ever, Vince?
Well, I looked at this in a couple of my injuries. Mm-hmm. I'm saying Brandon Roy because he was robbed. That's heartbreaking.
Ooh.
But I'm going to swing the talent way. Look, honourable mention to Hashim Thabeet.
Zing.
Joe Barry Carroll.
Ooh.
Yes, no, blast from the past.
Yeah.
Sunshine.
Wow.
But I am going for Michael Oliver Crabtree.
Oh, the Clippers' saviour. The candy man.
Oh, the candy with his candy cane shot. Coming out of college, Hakeem Olajuwon-like.
It's so funny to laugh about now, but seriously.
Would not be further from the truth. The best thing that... Well, it's not the best thing I've ever seen him do, but the funniest thing I ever saw him do... I think it was 2005, playing for the Timberwolves. Sam Cassell drove to the basket, and Olo Candy just took him out. He was on his team. And they both hit the deck, and Cassell just looks at him and just says, "What are you doing out here?" It sums it up, really, doesn't it?
Wow.
You take Olo Candy, you're heartbroken.
I like that pick. I've got to say, my two sole memories of Olo Candy. I can't even say his name.
Olo Candy, yeah.
I'm going to say the Candy Man, just for editing purposes. My two sole memories of him is Amari's dunk over him when he was in the Clippers. I don't remember that one. That was huge. Just destroyed him. I think from then on, I was like, this guy's going nowhere. And his mini dreadlocks in Minnesota, that's all I remember of.
Yep, and Shaq dunked all over him.
And a number one pick.
Oh.
I mean, you got to have your heart. I mean, like every like high draft pick the Clippers had back in, you know, those mid-90s, even early 2000s, was like, yeah, this is going to be the guy that, you know, turns his franchise around, the second team in LA. No longer going to be the laughing joke of the NBA.
The laughing stock beat as well.
Even the laughing stock.
You think Anthony Bennett's got problems? You just got to go watch Michael Oliver Crabtree.
Heartbreaker if you're a Clippers fan. I don't know how many Clippers fans, other than Billy Crystal, there were back then, though.
I think, from memory, I think Jack might have crossed over for just a for a couple of minutes.
Really?
I think he did go to a couple of Clippers games.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I've got two picks at this. I kind of have them tied, both for two different reasons. I'm going to give my honourable mention one to Bobby Hurley.
Oh, that is a fantastic pick.
Yeah, look, we all know, and especially if you've seen the Fab Five documentary, you know what Bobby Hurley did to that Michigan team. I mean, his high school record with Bobby Hurley at the point guard, just to give you an idea, I mean, he might look like a short little white guy, but he was a little general. And his high school record, Vince, 115-5.
That is phenomenal.
That is crazy, right?
That is fantastic.
He is still the NCAA all-time assist leader with 1,076. Not to mention the back-to-back titles for Duke in 91 and 92. So, I mean, coming out of college, I mean, this is a kid who stayed in college and, you know, was the real backbone for that Duke team for years.
Yep.
The 1993 draft, pick 7, he was really looked like the saving grace for Mitch Richmond in Sacramento. Finally, Mitch got some help at the point. You know, someone saw it was going to, you know, a young piece is going to join with Mitch and those guys and really take that team somewhere. Then, unfortunately, it all came undone. I mean, I was a huge Hurley fan when he got drafted. I was like, wow, who is this kid? You know, like, this is crazy. I remember this quite well. A game in December. Well,
me too.
His vehicle was struck by a truck and he was thrown from his car. Now, unfortunately, he wasn't wearing a seatbelt, so it threw him right out of the, yep, the window. So he was lucky he had a teammate that was following.
It was Big Mike Peplowski.
It was. Yes, you remembered. Now, Hurley was never the same after this. And I remember he sat out the rest of that year, obviously. He did end up getting back on the court in the 94-95 season. But he was never the same. And I think he even played on for maybe 3 more years after that, but was really...
Shadow of his former self.
Yep, definitely. So, you know, he broke a lot of hearts in Sacramento. Now, obviously not his fault. I mean, should have been wearing a seatbelt, bro.
Interesting side note to his accident. Mm. When he was in the ER, he was getting surgery. I can't remember the exact injury, but it had something to do with his lungs or something like that.
Yeah.
And the surgeon, they don't usually make this repair that the surgeon did, but the surgeon only did it because he knew Hurley was an athlete and would want to get back out on the court.
Wow.
But it was, I'll have to look it up and get back to you, but...
That's
so he's lucky the surgeon knew who he was, otherwise he would never have gotten back out in that court.
Yeah, because, I mean, he took a long time to even get walking again.
Yep.
So,
I've only got one Bobby Hurley game on tape. You make me want to go watch it now.
I'm telling you, man, like, there's rarely you see a guy who, you know, is not super athletic, who's like a general. I mean, I suppose you see similar bits, what I saw in Bobby Hurley, what you probably see in Ricky Rubio, you know, just changes the course of the whole game. You know, for me, that was a big, that's this tragic, heartbreaking thing, you know, because I was a little bit of a Sacramento fan back in the day. I love Mitch Richmond, so always wanted to see our teams do well. But
and didn't have, like, outstanding numbers for his first year.
No.
Like, that was around about 7 or 8 points a game, but you saw glimpses and you saw this kid was going to be...
Something else. But he didn't get my overall pick.
Oh, my.
So my pick for most heartbreaking draft pick ever... For me, personally, selected second in the 1999 NBA draft by the expansion team Vancouver Grizzlies, Stevie Franchise sulked his way out of town. I mean, a young... You've got to paint this picture. A young expansion team in the league, you know, really looking to make some moves. They, you know, their roster's made up of a lot of leftover guys from other NBA teams. Basically come out and said that, you know, publicly announced that, you know, he did not want to play for the Grizzlies. You know, didn't want to leave his home, the taxes and endorsements, and God's, and get this, and God's will, he didn't want to play in Vancouver. You can still watch the tape today. It's still out there of him basically crying on draft day because he got drafted by the Grizzlies.
Oh, what a little bitch.
Yeah, pretty much. But I'm like, if you're a Grizzlies fan, man, that's got to hurt. That's got to suck a little bit, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. How he played one season there?
He didn't play a season. It was actually the biggest trade at the time, I remember, because it was like they finally struck a deal with Houston.
That's right.
And it was 11 player deal. It was like the biggest
deal
at the time. You know, traded, like, brought in Antoine Carr and Brent Price to Houston and stuff like that. So it was crazy. It was crazy. But, I mean, it had to suck after that for, if you're a Grizzlies fan, you know, in Vancouver, because, I mean, the guy ended up being a three-time All-Star, you know, known for his, you know, great crossover and explosive dunks. I mean,
have you seen him now?
I've seen him now. He's a shadow. He looks like more like Gollum.
Looks like an exploded fridge.
Yeah, he's blown up, but I mean,
I gotta say, that would be heartbreaking.
Yeah. Courtside Radio. Now we've touched on the draft picks. I mean, what's the most heartbreaking trade you've ever seen go down there in the NBA? What trade really just made you scratch your head, go, you know, scream to the skies, no?
Oh, dude, that's easy. And you should know what I'm going to say.
Elaborate.
We just lost the championship to Detroit.
Ooh.
Earth-shattering, life-changing trade of Shaquille O'Neal to the Miami Heat.
Oh, yeah, that hurts.
I screamed to the heavens. I prayed that it wasn't true. And it was just heartbreaking because I was never going to see the big fella in the yellow and purple and dominate and chance to win another ring. Thank God he got one at Miami.
But, I mean, that's got to suck as well, right?
It sucked that it wasn't us.
Being a Lakers fan and trading Shaq.
And the worst part was you just want, all you wanted, all of Kobe, Phil, Jerry Buss to sit down and say, let's nut this out. Let's try and work it out before we do something we're going to regret. Because even he comes out right now and says, you know, they could have won another couple of chips together. And that's heartbreaking in itself. And also, freaking angry. Well, why didn't you just hand the reins over to Kobe? You still would have got plenty of touches, you big oaf. But that still irks me, that one.
That's a good one.
I wanted him to finish his career in LA, but, you know, it didn't happen, which is also heartbreaking. Three heartbreaking, what a question.
For me, there's only really one, the most heartbreaking trade ever. And, you know, I'm not a huge fan of this team, so it probably didn't hit me as much, but I have the utmost respect. And, you know, much like you, Vince, you know, I grew up in a time in the NBA where, you know, guys sticking it out on the one team was the way it should have been. You know, Mitch Richmond, to me, should have always stayed in the Sacramento jersey. You know, should never went to LA, to the Wizards or any of those other teams. And I always thought the same would have been true with this guy, and that has to be Dominique Wilkins.
Oh, yeah.
Being traded from the Atlanta Hawks. I mean, you know, the countless highlights. Countless. I mean, and I really felt like that Atlanta team was pretty close. It was pretty knocking on the door.
Oh, they were knocking. I just don't think that would have opened it.
Well, you know, that's some good players. I mean, you know, Kevin Willis, Mookie Baylock, Stacey Augman. I mean, that, you know, Spud Webb, of course. He had some good role players around him at times, but could never quite get over the hump. But that deal that sent Wilkins to the Clippers, I felt like that really destroyed Wilkins.
Not even a Hawks fan, but that was disappointing.
For Danny Manning.
I know.
With his rubber knee. He always had that rubber guard on. It looked like a tire tube. Any guy who has to wear that knee guard, I am not trading for.
But they went from one of the most exciting players to one of the most boring. Didn't they? Really?
Yep. All I remember about Danny Manning in Atlanta is him getting his ass to Phoenix.
Yep.
That's all I remember of him there.
For less money because he wanted a chance to win the championship.
And I can still remember opening a pack of basketball cards, sitting at home, and getting that first Dominique Wilkins card in a Clippers jersey and just looking at it and staring at it, that just doesn't look right.
Just doesn't
sit well.
I still remember Lenny Wilkins, and I've said this before, I'm saying about Danny Manning, next year we want to run the offense through him. Okay, Lenny.
Good luck with that.
Even if he stayed, do you really want to run the offense through Danny Manning?
I wouldn't say tarnished on the career of Dominique Wilkins, but definitely changed his course.
Absolutely. He should have stayed a Hawk and retired a Hawk.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Yep. But,
it's good to see him back with the Hawks organization now, you know, after all these years, though.
It is. They should make him GM.
Yeah. Welcome back to Courtside Radio, where we're bringing you nothing but the hits, those heartbreak hits.
Courtside Radio.
I'm going to go ahead and dedicate this next track to all those NBA fans out there who've ever had their franchise trade away their players to tank a season. I feel you guys. In this lonely land of heartbreakers, we should talk about one of the most heartbreaking factors. Your opinion. What was the most heartbreaking injury?
Well, I've got to give a couple of some honourable mentions. I want to give an honourable mention to Lofonso Ellis.
Ooh.
Jamal Mashburn, Chris Webber, Jermaine O'Neill, Bobby Hurley, now that you mentioned it, Stanley Roberts. I love Stanley Roberts.
Ooh, good pick.
I'm going to have to give a 1A and 1B to Penny Hardaway and Grant Hill.
Good pick.
Robbed of these two guys' prime years.
Yeah.
Penny with the knee was never the same, had the microfracture surgery. Clearly wasn't as good back then as it is now. And Grant Hill with that goddamn ankle just robbed us. Both of these guys were just turning out to be awesome cut downs.
Oh, remember Grant Hill crossovers?
Oh, dude.
And spins. I mean, that dude was phenomenal with the basketball for his size.
Yep.
I mean, the Orlando years must have been tough for him. Sitting on that bench, contemplating retirement.
Yep. And getting wrong doctor's advice. You know, doctors were cleaning him to play when he wasn't ready and they were missing stuff. And
Orlando fans this day still have big gripes against Grant Hill.
Which is just retarded.
But, you know, he turned it around, actually, and, you know, and had quite a decent career after that. I mean, got himself to Phoenix and had the old cactus juice and got right. But
he did, but we from the age of, what?
But he was averaging triple doubles. I remember him and Jason Kidd competing that first and second year. You know, who had the most triple doubles?
Yep, yep. I've got a game against the Wizards on DVD where he scores 48. And just robbed. That's the word. We're robbed of Grant Hill and Penny Hardaway. Just crap.
Sure, Hall of Famers, right, early in their careers. It was looking that way.
Oh, massively. Massively in the Hall of Fame, but surely Grant Hill's got to get in at Penny at some stage.
Man, I miss Penny. I miss watching Penny. He was amazing. Yeah, man. He was amazing.
It's funny, at lunchtime today, me and a mate watched the best passes ever, like top 10, and Penny was in there a few times. It's like, oh, God, Orlando days.
That Knicks game over the shoulder. Oh.
Yep, yep.
Well, for me, probably a little bit more personal, this one. I agree with your picks. Great picks. My pick for most heartbreaking injury, for me, on a personal level, has to be Gilbert Arenas. Just, I mean, doing the ACL, I mean, coming down on Gerald Wallace's foot and doing his ACL, I mean, that sucked. In a game they'd won, just about to going into the playoffs, I think they were like two games outside of the playoffs starting. You know, so there was probably, you know, some argued it was real no point having him in that game, but comes down on Gerald Wallace's foot, yeah, did his ACL and was, man, just never the same. I mean, the series before, we see LeBron and, you know, Gil go at it. And just, you know, I miss that showman in the league as well. Gil was one of those first guys really getting on the blogs and, you know, saying what he really thought and making crazy predictions. And the big shots by Gil, man. I mean, that guy's got range. But I just feel like it robbed him before he got a real chance to show what he could do in the playoffs, that's all.
I can relate to Gil a bit of reason over Venus. I always take guns to my place of work as well.
All right. No need for salt in the wind, buddy. I know it's the heartbreak show and all, but no need for salt in the wind.
Is that okay. Too soon?
Put the vinegar bottle away, all right? We don't need it now.
Too soon. You know what I do like about Gilbert Arenas?
What's that?
When he goes to play pickup ball, like even when he was in the NBA, he goes by himself. There's no bodyguard. There's no entourage. He'll just go to a gym, a park, and just play. I like that. He was definitely a different cat, wasn't he?
Yeah. And, of course, I love the trampoline dunk in the All-Star game that year.
I can't remember that.
Remember during one of the breaks, he ran up and jumped off the trampoline and did it in between the dunk, in between legs dunk, yes.
Did he fire off some guns when he landed?
No, he didn't. No, he didn't. We're moving on now. Thank you. Let's move along now to who is the most heartbreaking franchise in the NBA, Vince. I mean, should I elaborate on this or you want to just jump right into it?
No, please elaborate because question stumped me a little.
Okay, so this question doesn't necessarily mean the worst franchise.
That's good.
Because I certainly don't have the worst franchise, but as far as the most heartbreaking franchise, I think I've got it nailed down.
The franchise that I chose broke my heart four times because I hate them so much. And they got to the big dance these four occasions and I just wanted them to be bloody belted and swept and whatever. And that is a bloody San Antonio snooze.
Wow.
They came up against the Pistons in the finals. The Knicks, bottom to lose. Pistons, lose, please. Cavs, please lose. Nets, please beat the Spurs. And seriously, every time they win a championship, my heart breaks. It really does. I wanted McDice to get a ring, heartbroken.
Yep.
LeBron to beat him, heartbroken. Ewing, heartbroken. And Larry Johnson, he had to get that ring. But no, Tim Duncan had to play one, didn't he? Those pesky New Jersey Nets wanted Kidd to get a ring and Mutombo, but no. It's that bloody Tim Duncan again. So I'm glad they lost against the Heat because that just mended a crack in my heart. But they were heartbreaking losses for me. I'm not even a Pistons, Knicks, bloody Cavs fan.
That's a good way to look at it. I never looked at it like that question.
Yeah, it's got to hate them.
I always laugh when you say the San Antonio snooze.
Oh, dude. Yeah. And if anyone out there, I swear to God, if anyone out there tells me, if you think the Spurs are boring, you shouldn't be watching NBA, I'll smash you. They are freaking boring.
Well, for my pick for most heartbreaking franchise in the NBA, I really couldn't go past the Cleveland Cavaliers. As far as just Cleveland itself, I mean, think of all the big... I mean, they always get the big tags after something goes wrong, right? So it always sticks with them and haunts them. You know, you had the red right 88, the catch, the drive, the fumble, the streak, the decision, the move, and the 97 World Series. I mean, it just goes on and on. I mean, if you're living in Cleveland, it might just feel like normal now.
Have you seen the Cleveland Browns? I think they're shit.
Yeah. But I mean... Of course, you know, even in today's game, Cleveland, I mean, look, they drafted them on pick last year. Bennett not exactly living up to the hype. There's all these rumors swirling about Kyrie Irving leaving. You know, what's going to break this curse down in Cleveland? I mean, and then, of course, you know, the shot, you know, MJ over Elo. I'm sure that when people talk about Cleveland, that's definitely one thing that comes to mind. You know, it just seems to be like when heartbreak comes to mind, it's at Cleveland's expense. And I mean, they had the biggest player on the planet.
Yep.
And he made a national decision, something that's never been done before. Like, he basically rubbed their nose in it and said, I'm bouncing to South Beach. And then threw a party about it. I mean, that doesn't cut there. I mean, who would have thought, man? You know, like, I never thought I'd really see in the NBA ranks anyway, you know, people burning jerseys on national TV. Their GM sent out a letter, you know, like basically cursing LeBron.
No, it was Dan Gilbert, the owner.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, the owner. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, that's not the only heartbreak they've had. I mean, they had one of the best centers going around the NBA and he had to retire early. Brad Doherty, yep, because of his back. They had Craig Elo at shooting guard, unfortunately. It's heartbreaking.
Hey, remember Kemp's years in Cleveland?
I've actually got a Kemp jersey from Cleveland.
Kemp in Cleveland was fantastic. I love Kemp in Cleveland.
He was good in Cleveland, yeah.
Starting to put on the pounds a little bit, but he was still a two-time All-Star there, so hey.
Yeah, still athletic.
That's all back off, all right?
Well, hey, dude, I bought the Cleveland jersey. I was a fan, okay?
But yeah, for me, Cleveland, I think they take the cake for me.
They had Kevin Johnson and traded him.
Oh, they did too.
I mean, come on. It's sometimes their heartbreak is their undoing.
Courtside Radio.
Do you suffer from Jordan phobia? Are your NBA heroes not winning titles? Then look no further than Courtside Radio, the number one heartbreak station.
I'm all out of love. I'm so lost without you. I know you were right, believing for so long. I'm all out of love. What am I without you? I can't be too late to say that I.
Let's move now to the sad story. What's the most heartbreaking game, Vince?
Well, I've seen the Lakers lose some NBA finals, and it's not even those games. This game was the 98 finals final game. Even though it was a great moment in it, but it was really sad when it hit you that you realised that this great team was not going to grace the floor together ever again. They're going to split up. Phil was leaving. Jordan was going to retire if Phil wasn't playing. They're coaching Rodman. Oh, they're all leaving pretty much. And all shattered. Oh, I thought...
Was it the last hurrah, right? The last hurrah.
It was, and they all could have played together one more year at least, trying to go for that four-peat, but I don't know, it was the end of... I love Michael Jordan that much. Like, I don't think about it now. Like, it's just like, it was sad that we missed 2 years of him playing, and it was sad the way it ended in Chicago.
Yeah.
The way that team was busted up, it shouldn't have happened.
Agreed.
Even though I realised that, you know, Jordan was 36, but, I mean, did you see the way he played?
That season, though, I mean, what a season they had. And
bloody oath.
I think they could have backed up that season.
Well, they all should have just said, let's defend it. One more year. What's one more year? Come on, Phil. You know, Phil would have went in.
I had a little bit of a struggle with this. Not that I haven't seen my my fair share of heartbreaking games, but I was trying to step away from a little bit more of the personal element of this question. And 89 playoffs, Eastern Conference, this guy come off the bench, 24 points, including the go-ahead layup with 3 seconds left. Unfortunately, it set the stage for probably one of Jordan's bigger shots. I think that series was one of the best series. It was such a heartbreaker for whatever team lost. But, I mean, the shot over Craig Elo. Yeah, I talked about Cleveland before, but it just felt like not again. And, you know, I was doing a little bit of research into this, and it was funny that Cleveland had beaten Chicago basically 4 times during the year.
Yep.
So, I mean, the shot, man. I mean, most heartbreaking game, yeah, because it left... the biggest heartbreaking memory when people think back on the career of Craig Elo, who was actually a hell of a player.
Well,
he was a good player, good man. Player. He was a good scorer. He played phenomenal in that series.
Elo was a bloody good competitor, he was.
Yeah.
Played hard every night. Just made up for his lack of any deficiencies he had, I should say.
But it really set the stage for, you know, the myth and the legend that was building behind MJ, you know. And, it had to be another heartbreaker for Cleveland. So I think, for me, that'll go down as probably, when I look back at most heartbreaking games, that's definitely got to be up there.
And then was it in 92, 93, he hit the game winner over Wilkins?
Yes.
Gerald Wilkins.
Yes.
Did it again.
But yeah, I always remembered, like, the commentating.
Shout out, Elo.
Bulls win it. They outside Cleveland Cavaliers. Jordan hits it at the foul line, 101, 100, 20,273 in stunned silence here at the Coliseum. Jordan with 44 points in a game hit over the shot of Craig Elo. What a tremendous heroics we have had in game 5 for both teams.
I remember. I just remember him nearly punching Sellers in the face.
Yeah. How quick did Lenny Wilkins get off the court?
He hadn't moved as quick as that since his playing days.
And how quick did Doug Collins get on the court and hug MJ?
That was get the bottom, Michael. Everybody get the fuck out the way.
Oh, that play. Oh. Sorry, Cleveland.
Courtside Radio.
So we've talked about the past. You know, we talked about a lot of, you know, history and stuff that we grew up on. But we should bring it back to today's game because there are a lot of heartbreakers in today's game, Vince. So I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, who is today's biggest heartbreaker? Who's the NBA player in today's game that just really seems to break hearts over and over again?
Well, I'm a massive fan of this guy, and it's KD.
Durant, the Durantula.
Yeah, because he's the guy you barrack for when your team's poo and out of the playoffs, such as mine. But every time you want him to succeed, he comes up short. He gets knocked out.
Zing.
Or he makes the finals and loses.
Oh.
I don't care what anyone says, that's fucking heartbreaking.
That's a zing.
Very hungry. Love the guy. I just want him to see him get a ring, that's all.
He's starting to see the same sort of questions that LeBron.
Oh, not as bad yet.
Well, I've started.
Yeah, you surprise, surprise.
I started last year, but hey.
If there's anything negative to be said, McCoy's saying it.
Interesting. KD, the biggest heartbreaker. Wow.
Well, I'm sure there's others out there, but to me it is because, as I say, I'm a massive fan. If I'm a massive fan, you have to get a ring. I want some bling.
I like that pick. I like that pick. Cool.
Thanks, man.
You have your moments.
I try.
My pick for who is today's biggest heartbreaker, you know what, I really gave this a lot of thought, and I was thinking, you know, who's the guy out there who's hitting game winners over other teams and you know, carrying their team. He's that franchise guy that's really breaking hearts. And I couldn't really think of one like that. So my pick for today's biggest heartbreaker is Derrick Rose. Because Derrick Rose, man, came to this league. We all got a taste of Derrick Rose's potential, you know, MVP quality, but just can't get back on the court. You know, keeps piling up. He's got, I've never seen a player with a whole city behind him. Like, I know he's a Chicago guy, but there's plenty of guys who play for their home team that don't get this sort of, I don't know, energy from. I mean, he's really won the fans over. But, man, gets back on the court, gets injured. Like, sits another year out. Like, it's tough. It's tough being a Derrick Rose fan right now because, you know what, you got a taste. You got a taste of what he can do.
That is heartbreaking, Derrick Rose.
It's tough being a Derrick Rose fan. It's a real heartbreaker. And what's going to happen this season? You know, what if he gets on? Is he going to be back for playoffs? I mean, we don't even know. Heartbreaking.
If he's who knows? Wow, that is heartbreaking. That is a good pick.
If your heartbreaker was a song, what song would that be, Vince?
One More Night by Phil Collins. KD would just want one more night to try and level the series.
Just to rectify it, right?
Yeah. One more night, just give me one more.
One more night. I promise I won't sing again.
Yeah, please.
great, big.
My ears are bleeding.
For me, I had to go with the classic Don't Go Breaking My Heart by Elton John for Derrick Rose.
What about Doctor Doctor?
Zing! With the whole, you know, lines of Elton John and that, you know, and the back and forth with the female singer, I don't know who the female singer was, reminds me of, you know, it just reminds me of Derrick Rose singing to the Chicago fans.
Yep. Right. poor Derrick.
Oh, Derrick Rose.
We're rooting for you, guy.
Courtside Radio. Only the lonely.
I thought we'd sort of sum up the show with, as a fan, what are your top two heartbreaking moments? What are the moments that really gutted you the most?
Again, one is Laker-related. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when you follow the side, you're going to have a lot of heartbreak.
Yeah.
It was easy for me. It was losing the 04 finals.
Ooh.
Especially after I listened to Rick Fox today say that the Lakers went in very, very arrogant.
Overconfident.
Very, very overconfident. Also threw Karl Malone under the bus today, interesting side note.
Really?
He said that he thought Karl could have played with that knee. And ooh. When the team pressed Karl to play, he sort of went, nah, I'm good.
Wow.
Yeah, so interesting there. So, yeah, that breaks my heart. Another ring lost. But,
another scar.
Another scar. Another heartbreaking thing for me was watching a 40-year-old Jordan going up against guys trying to hot dog him, embarrass him in Washington. Not only that made me angry, it was very sad to see, you know, bloody P-heart like Al Harrington talking trash to him, and it's like not fit enough to hold Jordan's jockstrap when he was in his prime, mate. So now that he's old, you want to show him up. That to me, that was.
It's just funny how Jordan fans like try to forget the Wizard days. Like
Wizard
even.
Days.
Well, you know, like even in like his shoe releases, you know, he'll re-release shoes in different colorways representing, you know, different eras, you know, big games and stuff like that. But you never see a Wizards colorway.
That will be the only time I acknowledge his Wizards existence. But that pissed me off to no end.
Actually, it's funny because I just that whole, you know, was it two seasons there?
Yep.
Yeah, I just felt like it was like he was never going to have the team around him to compete.
Yeah, you know what I found.
I mean, you're not going to win with young Kwame Brown, Richard Hamilton, Jerry Stackhouse, Mitch Richmond, none of those guys. You know, you're not going to do it with big Ike Austin in the middle. Like, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, no. And did he have that? Was it Jahidi White?
Yes.
Worst.
Oh.
Worst hands ever for a big man. I remember that the stories when Jordan was coming back to play. Oh, Barkley's going to play with him. Ewing's going to play with him.
Settle down, guys. Not the Tune Squad. Oh, good picks. Good picks. For me, and this is one that's, I don't know why, it just really stuck out. Like, it's funny, this show, you know, we've talked about a bit of MJ and the Bulls, but I was a little bit late with the wagon with the MJ. And when I got into basketball, it was the, you know, MJ was just sort of, I sort of came midway when he was winning his first three-peat against the Phoenix Suns. So, you know, it's 1993. The Bulls just come off their win. Obviously, I'm a young, impressionable basketball fan. Everything's about MJ and how great he is. And, you know, I'm watching highlight VHS recordings and, you know, the works on MJ. I just thought the world of him because he's earnest, you know. He's like,
yep,
scratching my head, just, you know, emulating the move. So, you know, the guy's up on this incredible pedestal. And then just something tragic happened. It just really brought everything down to earth for me. And it's 93. It's July. Funny enough, it's the 23rd of July. The news came in that they found this red Lexus with the number plate UNC0023. And that was the day that they found Jordan's dad murdered. It was just so tragic. And, you know, for an athlete who, you know, I basically considered a god, to see him sort of defeated and to be humanized, really just, man, just etched in the back of my head forever. Like, I still think about, you know, watching the news clips and just being so into it, just going, wow, I can't believe it. And the two guys that killed Jordan's dad, you know, Jordan's dad was asleep in the car, for those who don't remember it. And then they stole the vehicle and they found his body in a swamp. It was something ridiculous. It took them 12 days or something to identify the body and stuff. So, like, he was pretty messed up from it. But yeah, they stole, like, the two championship rings, you know, that were in the car. And the guys were making calls off Jordan's phone. So they'll find, like, how dumb can you be? Like,
yep.
I just felt really, really sad for him. And I mean, you know, it mightn't be such a big deal to some people, but for me, I mean, this turned the greatest player that, you know, that the game's seen, you know, it defeated him and he stepped away from the game. Like, he didn't want, you know, his father not to see his last game. So, I mean, eventually we know the story, we know it unfolded and he came back and won another three-peat. But, I mean, definitely a big etching in my life, and I'm sure MJ's, you know. Like, I bet you he still thinks about that, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, that was insane.
A bit crazy and just senseless. Just really a senseless thing.
Yeah, it was. Just two dickheads.
You know, when I think about crazy stuff in the world, I always think of that. I don't know why it's stuck in my head all these years, but I just thought, man, that's just a tragic thing. And, I mean, hey, it's something that, like I said, you know, sent the greatest away from the game.
Yeah, it did. Hopefully they're still rotting away in prison too.
Yeah.
Getting struggle cuddles with Bubba.
So I know that's a little bit of a somber note. I know it's the Heartbreak Show, but I didn't really want to end on such a...
Yeah, I'm all depressed now.
Yeah, I didn't want to leave on such a depressed one. So my last heartbreaking moments has to be anyone who wasn't an MJ fan in the 90s. Think of all those Hall of Famers on those classic teams that we love and grew up on that never got a title because they stood in the way of his airness. Charles Barkley and the Phoenix Suns, Stockton and Malone, Utah Jazz, Ewing and the Knicks, I mean, Reggie Miller and the Pacers, I mean, the list goes on and on. Well, Clyde got his, but he had to go to Houston to do it.
Yeah, Jordan was retired.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Took advantage. Smart guy.
Kemp Payton.
Exactly. Like, it's endless, you know. A lot of the guys that, you know, we grew up loving, you know, who the NBA made these big deals about, you know, they literally, like, just wrong court, wrong time, wrong team. Well, that brings conclusion. Another Courtside Presents show.
Yes.
Here it comes.
Watch out.
Ball